I want you to open it to Ephesians 1.
I just wanted to share something that the Lord showed me this morning, and it was I made a choice to physically hand my heart to Him, and it didn't look too good. It looked pretty broken, and lots of fissures in it, and just didn't look so hot. And I handed it to Him, and I said, "Okay, this is it. I yield it to you. I'm done taking it back. I'm done trying to do it myself. Fix myself, whatever." And He handed it back to me, and it was perfect. It was perfect. And He said, "That's all I ever wanted."
You're not the only one who needed that. If that's something that you need, come here. Don't sit there. Come here. Come here. If that's you, stand up. Right there. There you go. There you go. All right. Now I want you to just pray. Okay? And release to each of these. Yes. Yes, Lord.
You're with you, but I guess I'm running from you.
Release it now. Release it now. Yes.
That He helps us through it. We don't stay in it. We do walk through it and with God. And then that's our power.
Amen. That's worth the price of admission. Ephesians 1:17 says, it's Paul where he's praying. It's where he's praying that for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of his understanding, that our understanding would be open and illuminated and enlightened, that we might know the hope of His calling, and that we might know the riches of the glory of our inheritance in the saints, of His inheritance in us, His Christ in us, His Jesus in us, that we might come to know the surpassing greatness of His power towards us. See, as we come to know the surpassing greatness of the power towards us, then we can begin to understand just how much He has truly loved us. We can begin to see and apprehend a God that truly is interested in us and truly is moving and shaping the world around us in ways that we haven't always recognized. Because if we begin to recognize the shaping of the Lord around us, then we can begin to understand just how much, how deep that love is for us. As we begin to see the surpassing greatness of His power, there's a place of faith that's released in us. No longer do we have to hide from faith. No longer do we have to hide and try to just do something in our own works, because it's all we can really count on. Because when we stand up and we stand out and we begin to react and walk in faith, suddenly we've begun to tap into something that's greater than us. He's looking for us to apprehend His power. He's looking for us to understand that His power and His love are the same thing, because His power and His love come together. His power and His love are something that are being released as a force on your behalf. I want us to look and have an expectancy, not just to come and receive a good teaching, but to have an expectancy to come and be touched by the power of God each and every service that we attend. And some may be thinking that there's a pendulum swing that's happening and we're getting way too far out on one side. Let me say something. That pendulum swing is part of who we are. And we don't have to be afraid of it. We don't have to be afraid of it because it's part of where we're going. It's part of what we've always looked at for our destiny. Part of the vision of this house was the seven pillars of God. And that's something that we have to look at. Right here, this has been for, 10, 11 years, 12 years? Something that we've had posted up around here. Number one is salvation. Number two is worship. Number three is intercession. These are the seven pillars. Number four is divine healing. Five is deliverance, six is benevolence, and seven is discipleship. These are the pillars that we're looking to establish in this place and in our hearts. These are the pillars that lead us into the place of revival. These are the pillars that begin to come up and support this platform called revival. Those are the things that God is doing in us. So if we spend some inordinate amount of time on divine healing, we haven't done that in a while. So we need to come back and refresh and regroup and reunite around this pillar as we begin to understand more about this pillar and more about the operation of divine healing. As we understand more about the operation of deliverance. As we begin to understand more about the operation of intercession. As we group ourselves around these things, then we're beginning to come into the place where we can stand on the very platform He was looking to create. Understand that as we do these things, it's not the experience that we're after. It's the transformation that comes in us because of the experience. I got saved because I experienced physical healing. When I experienced physical healing, I knew for a fact, for the first time in my life, that God was real. Before that, there was a thought, there was a thing, but it wasn't the same. All of a sudden, I had a place of faith that God was real. We want to present that same opportunity to those that we meet. We want to give them the opportunity to walk in this place called divine healing. We want to give them the opportunity to walk and know what it means to be in intercession. To know what it means to come and truly worship God from a heart full of abundance. Because see, it's just like when you give your kid a few dollars to go and buy a present. Our worship is just like that. You give a kid a few dollars to go and buy a present and they go and buy a present for you. And when they bring in, they present that present to you, you know, it fills you with great joy. Well, see, that same way is what God is doing with us in the area of worship. Because we can't give back love that we haven't received. But when we go and we begin to worship Him, we begin to display a love that He initially gave us. We begin to display and return a love to Him and send it back to Him. No different than with our benevolence. When we have a place of benevolence in our heart and a place of gratitude and we begin to present back to Him an offering, as we send forth that offering, then there's a place in that offering where what we're doing is just simply just saying, Abba, You gave this to me, but I'm giving it to You. As we do so, then there's an awakening within us of His importance to us. And His great love for us. What I'm saying is that the things that we're experiencing right now and as the power move of God begins to occur is consistent with this thing that we've been praying for over a year. It's specifically the thing that led us into the message of grace was this prayer out of Paul, out of Ephesians 1 and 17. It led us into the message of grace, and grace has begun to open up to us a whole new world of power and authority in Christ. See, God comes alongside us to make sure that we can accomplish His perfect will. That's called grace. When He comes alongside us to release the power and authority to do and accomplish His will, that's grace. What we're seeing and experiencing here is a measure and a reflection of the grace that God is depositing in this body. It's time. See, this church has been known as a place of intercession, a house of prayer for many years. It's time for us to become known as a house of healing. It's time for us to become known as a house of deliverance, which we have been some degree, but I think maybe even a greater degree. It's time for us to come known as a house of generosity and benevolence. We have. Periodically, we've done tremendous things in that area, but we need to know consistently. We need to come and begin to look like these seven pillars and come into the place where we're known as a place of discipleship. But right now, the focus is on a place of healing. Because see, as that place of healing comes forth, that's the thing that begins to draw those who need God. If we ever want to cry out for souls, we need to cry out for the healing that goes with it. Because see, in the influx of souls, there is going to come from the healing. It's going to come from the deliverance. It's going to come from the freedom. And therefore, it begins to put a demand for souls out there. So we can cry out for the souls to come in when we cry out for these operations of God and the power move of God to be there to meet them as they come through the doors. To be there to meet them as you walk among them in the store. Does anybody have a testimony of your treasure? We talked about looking for treasure last week. Looking for treasure, remember? When I was talking about the looking for your treasure, I was asking you to make a list of five things for each category. Five characteristics of a person that God was showing you. A tall, thin, bald guy. Okay? But that's one person. All right? A man with a striped shirt. Okay? That's a different person. A lady with a blue blouse and checkers on it. That's a different person. And then different symptoms that they might be experiencing. But I'm looking for five different people in this treasure hunt, are descriptions of for at least five different symptoms, descriptions for at least five different little fun facts, descriptions for maybe even five different places that you find these people at. Because that way, what you do, it becomes a little less threatening than having to come up to say somebody says, you're the bald guy that's got cancer, right? Okay, that's a little abrupt and a little hard to, you know, for some people to follow after. But if you look, if you come up and say, "Hey, I'm looking for treasure. I'm on a treasure hunt. And one of my treasures is a man wearing a striped suit. And you're wearing a striped suit. Would you just humor me for a moment and look at my list and see if any of these other things fit you? Let's see if you're my treasure." And then they can look down there and he says, "Yeah. You know, I had an operation last year, and it never has healed right, and my foot still doesn't work right." Or whatever the point is, whatever was on your list, and he begins to identify himself from your list. Now, he's in cooperation. Now, there's an atmosphere of faith because he can look at it and see that an operation of faith goes into place. Faith rises up in his heart. Faith rises up in your heart. As we carry the message out of here, those are the things that begin to affect the region around us. This is how we become a regional church. as we begin to affect the neighborhoods around us. In Houston, that's a little bit more intimidating than it is maybe in Pena, Illinois, or wherever. Where was it? Oh, Industry, Texas. It's 343 people. But you can affect the neighborhoods around you. You can affect your neighbors. You can affect those that you run into because you're looking and listening. The exercise is to become aware of what's around us. The exercise is not only to become aware of what's around us, then but also be aware of what God wants to do, how He wants to bring healing and restoration. These are the things that spark and motivate an operation of God. The most beautiful thing of all the things that I saw and learned from Brent was this, was that the move of God is nothing more than moving in conjunction with His Holy Spirit.